This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Audrey Raj. You are listening to Going Global on Enterprise, where we speak to promising local tech companies about how they became regional and global players. On the show today, we have the largest money exchange company in Malaysia. If you look Merchant Trade Asia up on Wikipedia, you will see that they are a money services business, a digital payment service, and an MVNO, or a mobile virtual network operator provider. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. To tell us more about the company and how they've disrupted themselves and the mammoth target that they've set up for themselves in the near future is the Chief Strategy Officer at Merchant Trade Asia, Mr. Paran Puvanesan. Paran, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Audrey.
All right. So let's just do a quick recap of your genesis before we go any further. Not your genesis, but Merchant Trade Asia's genesis. I understand that Merchant Trade started off as a telco equipment vendor before it moved on to bigger, better, more challenging things. Maybe you can tell us a bit about how it all started and how Merchant Trade grew to become the behemoth we know of it today.
Right. Okay. So the founding shareholder, Mr. Rama, had its roots from more telecommunication supply and equipment person. So it started off the business as doing that into the telecommunication industry. Now, looking at the market, he moved into VoIP and, you know, calling cards per se, and eventually evolved to becoming the first MVNO player working with Celcom to launch the first MVNO in Malaysia. At the same time, primarily saw the start of the opportunity in terms of the remittance business. Mm. Just to give you a feel, at that point in time, you know, the market that he saw was really the growth in the migrant worker space. So obviously, remittance was a growing trend in that space. And there were not very many players, non-bank players in the space. So again, we were the first to start playing in that space, which are not basically not linked to any sort of G2G sort of remittance player. So the company evolved primarily as an MVNO player over the years, and then evolved right to the stage where, I guess, the MVNO business has evolved. I mean, with the advent of the telco companies coming into the space and, you know, the kind of products moving into more into data. So Mr. Rama saw the move to looking more into the remittance business. And that's why the remittance business has grown more from probably 2011, 2012. That has become a growth engine for the business and moving into the other services around that. Just to add on, at 2011, that was when there was the introduction of the MSB license. So we were the first to be awarded the MSB license, which basically covered three different business lines: remittance, currency, and the wholesale currency business. So we started off with remittance again, eventually evolved into currency, and then moved on to very recently into wholesale currency business. And we are currently now market leaders in all three segments within that space. And I guess the next genesis happened as recent as probably started probably about a year back. This is moving to what we call the payments space with the launch of our e-wallet and basically a debit card. But it's also underpinnings back to basically it's a multi-currency wallet. So going back to the fact that we have our strengths and the ecosystem around the remittance business.
All right. So we'll talk a bit about Merchant Trade money in just a bit. But I'm curious about you, Paran. What is your role at Merchant Trade and how were you involved in, well, growing some of its most recent offerings?
Well, I've joined Merchant Trade probably about 7 months back. That's, again, I would say it's how the genesis of Merchant Trade is evolving. So I was with one of the big four accounting firms, you know, focusing a lot more on corporate finance, M&A stuff. But if you look at the business itself, we've been attracting a lot of talents around the banking industry, the consulting side. That's really because the ambition is really to you know, get the right governance, the right systems, the right people to have an appeal which is a broader-based market, really looking at the Malaysian market space, what do we need to do? So my role primarily over the months, and I would say is the evolution now, as I would say, the remittance business, it's there, right? It's a business that is growing, I would say, more organically. If you look at any statistics that is out with Bank Negara, et cetera, it's a steady growth expected every year. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting the new elements would be the payment space. And really, that's been the focus about what more can we do with that product. And that's really targeted for a very new segment from our perspective. Travelers, student markets, you know, anybody is keen to look at having control around what currencies they are spending or what's the exchange rate they are experiencing. And that's what we are evolving our business towards.
Okay, speaking of evolution, was there a pain point that Merchant Trade hoped to solve in its evolution and in reinventing itself into providing the services it does today?
Yeah, I mean, to a large extent, like we said, our roots were with the migrant worker space. And we looked at what was their needs, you know, what was it evolving and how their behavior was evolving. And to some extent, it's no different than us, you know, as Malaysians. The move was more towards using your handphones, your app base, you know, looking at, well, I guess, fintech elements of stuff, right? How you interact. So that has helped us look at how do we evolve our service offerings. So way back in 2012, we launched our e-remit product, which is basically an app-based remittance product. And in 2015, an e-forex product, which is basically you pre-book your currency and, you know, collect it from one of our branches. Now, that I would say is the initial evolution. So we believe this new wallet that we are launching not only targets the migrant worker space, but also Malaysians. Now, I would like to talk a bit more about what we were looking at for migrant workers. If you look at the pain points they had, they were carrying cash, probably having some challenges about how they interact with banks and all those things.
Right.
Now, you can just imagine our wallet, right, which is currently 10,000 ringgit, some that you can put in. They could safely store their money. They could safely, almost at a press a button, remit that money back home, buy top-ups for their phone services. And from the employer's perspective, you know, basically, you know, we're also working with a lot of the banks, actually, collaboratively, to look at how they could remit their payroll for this group of workers into this card. So it's no longer cash handling and they needing to go to the closest point for remittance or buying whatever they need. All this is going to potentially happen at the comfort of wherever you are.
So there's an app that is attached to the card itself.
That's right. That's right. So really, actually, it's the app. I mean, the card, to some extent, is traditionally we still want, you know,
the ease of use,
Ease of use. But it's the app is what we're really pushing towards. So it's meant to have a single app experience in terms of remittance, top-ups, eventually looking at a market space there. But that app experience is what we think is also going to appeal largely to Malaysians. For example, somebody who's buying online, you can look at that. Students, now, this card, for example, parents could buy a currency, say monthly, you know, someone studying in the UK or Australia, and transfer the money to their children who's there, you know, basically in terms of transferring the funds they require for a month. The other interesting thing about this card is actually can be issued to from anyone from 12 years and above.
Ah, okay.
So you can imagine you could issue it to your kids and basically instead of giving them cash, you let them use this card, so the safe way. Also, you'll be able to see how they're spending their money. Basically, you've got, you know, the statements coming up.
You get to monitor them. What about the fees linked to the card?
Basically, there's just a 10 ringgit fee to get the card. So basically, we just, you know, require a normal top-up of 100 ringgit and those things. So there's no additional fees, right? This card is linked to Visa. So basically, you are able to use it in any Visa merchants globally. So there's no additional card charges for the card.
What about the rates, the foreign exchange rates?
in the card.
Yes.
So we tend to believe it's the best rate in town. Now, the rationale for that is really is the push towards, you know, reducing handling of cash.
Mm.
You know, we have, you know, you can just imagine handling cash at branches or et cetera. There is cost to it, which obviously we need to recover. With this, that's obviously eliminated, and that's passed on to the consumer. So that's why we are able to give a pretty decent rate, as anybody would check into that. And really, because we have the ecosystem, so it's not something that is probably easy to launch. I mean, there are discussions around launching a multi-currency card.
Mm.
But truly to do this is because we do have our current branch and, you know, the network. So we are, I would say, a believer of a hybrid model. We still think the traditional brick and mortar, as it stands now, our agent networks and further points of touch points to consumers will still remain, but offering the convenience of the fintech elements of things. So that hybrid model will say, so while we are disrupting, as you earlier mentioned, we believe this needs to happen because there are a lot of players coming into the space.
Mm.
But we believe at the moment that this is still something we need to maintain for the level of comfort for consumers, that they know where to go to or what they need to do. It's probably going to evolve in terms of what that roles of our branches would play.
Mm.
But we believe that still remains.
I want to narrow in a little further on your e-remit service. I understand it closed 2017 with 750 million ringgit transferred online, and you are projecting it to hit 1 billion ringgit in transfers this year. Is there something new driving this growth?
Absolutely, absolutely. What we think is actually, we've just launched the eKYC link to our e-remit 3.0, which is our latest updated version. Now, the eKYC element basically is know your client. KYC is knowing your client. In the past, the very first time that you sign up for any of our services, whether, you know, even though it's online,
mm-hmm.
you needed to go to our branch to do the KYC.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently, we've been given the approval to do this eKYC, whereby it's all app-based. You take a photo of yourself. It's, of course, system-driven. It does a check with an ID that you also take a photo of and, does some matching. And basically with that, once it's all okay, you're approved as a client and customer and you move on to downloading your app and you move on. We believe this is going to be an impetus for more Malaysians signing on, the remittance side of things. The push has been a lot of Malaysians sending money on behalf of either their maids, etc. per se.
Mm.
So, and we think that's why this is going to be a big push for us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break to squeeze in some messages right now. But when we come back, we talk about competition. Paren Puvanesan from Merchant Trade Asia will be right back on Going Global, BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Going Global on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is Paren Puvanesan. He is the Chief Strategy Officer of Merchant Trade Asia. Now, before the break, Paren, we were talking about other players in the scene. Let's dive into competition. Who else is playing in this space, and how do you think that will evolve in your segment moving forward?
So I would segmentize this answer in three different ways. Now, if you look at a company like Merchant Trade, now somebody who's offering remittance, offering a payment solution, offering an MVNO solution, and by the way, we've also launched an insurance product as well, with AXA, underwritten by AXA. I believe there are not many players out there globally even playing in all those fields. So if you look at that, there are different competitors in different segments. So remittance, yes, there are some big global remittance players. And then you also have the fintech players. So we are kind of playing in both that spaces. As I was mentioning earlier, we believe this hybrid element of having the traditional brick and mortar with this fintech element is going to be our differentiating factor.
Mm.
And there are a lot of fintech players coming into the market. And we are a bit conservative. I mean, as our strategy in terms of securing market, and probably that's why you don't see us having massive marketing campaigns. People may not have heard, but the idea is to have truly active users using our products, whether it's remittance, the card per se.
Mm.
One is a benefit to us, of course, as a company, right? The investment doing it. And so it's really a thought-through advertising dollar per se. In a way, some of the fintech players do have very deep pockets who are competing in the space, right? So yes, I think in the short term, we probably would see most of the fintech players, some of these bigger fintech, or I would say deeper pocket fintech players, capturing market share. But the whole idea would be who's going to be here for the long run. And we think, with our current business model and I guess relative conservative approach, but very agile to the market, is something we'll make sure that we remain for the years to come. And I believe knowing the founder is always evolving and looking at the market in advance. And I'm sure we will evolve in advance to whatever changes that are happening in the market.
Speaking of your founder, there was an article earlier this year quoting Ramasamy Veeran. He said that he started off disrupting his own business and now he aims to disrupt banks. What's on the cards here? Are we still talking about merchant trade money?
Well, I think he keeps repeating this, not so much about disrupting banks, but about disrupting ourselves. And that's been his ethos. If you look at it, the evolution that's happened. He foresaw, in my view, the different changes that were going to happen. When we had MVNO, we moved to remittance. And now, obviously, looking at the e-wallet space. And this is a journey we started not today. Mm. It started a couple of years back. I know we've also invested into an IT company, basically, because we believe app development is going to be something that is going to be a very important element to us.
Mm.
So I think the disruption definitely is something we look at ourselves. Now, disrupting banks is, I guess, something the industry has always been saying, right? That's always been the new challenges that are coming in there. And since we do offer services that are quite similar to banks here, I guess one could say we are kind of disrupting that market. But I think, to some extent, we are complementary to what the banks are offering. And in fact, we do collaborate a lot with the banks. The market segment that we are targeting at the very moment is potentially not what the bank is looking at. I mean, we are also looking at the B2B market in terms of SME space, but really the smaller, much smaller market space.
Mm.
We're talking about, I guess Malaysians, yes, that's broader base. And of course, the migrant worker space. So we are, I would say, complementary to what the banks are offering into the market. But we like to think we are trying to also offer that broader base of services. Yeah.
One of your latest offerings, like we were discussing earlier, Merchant Trade Money, it's supposed to be your personal money changer in your pocket. You were showing me the card just before we came into the studio. Why do you think that this product especially is about to disrupt current practices and change the game?
So we call it the 24/7, and I would say 365 days, a digital money changer. Really, because within the app, you can buy and sell currencies any time of the day, 24 hours a day. So really, it's in your control when you want to buy. Yeah, and currently, we have up to 10 currencies in our card, covering from pounds, US dollars, Sing dollars. So the idea is that you are able to, at your own control, decide when you want to buy your currencies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just taking that one step forward, if you imagine when you're traveling, right? Typically, either you use your cards and all. You're not completely in control what the rate is.
Correct, yeah.
Right?
And sometimes you come back to a bomb.
Absolutely. And even sometimes you buy it online, right? So you're not sure what exactly is the exchange is going to be. I'm not talking about going over the counter and changing money and going. So imagine if you are, this card, what it offers is basically, say you buy things in US dollar, now with online shopping. So you buy your US dollar, so you know what you've locked it and what cost, whatever it is. And basically, you use that wallet, US dollar wallet, to buy. So you you're basically in control of the rate that you're buying it at.
So if you're smart enough to monitor currencies, you can actually purchase currencies at the best rates and then shop later or sell later?
Absolutely. So the idea is, yes, you know, especially now increasingly Malaysians are traveling abroad. Also, student market, as I was mentioning earlier, is growing. So you can probably plan ahead. And I think we see the travelers market as something that is growing. For example, you know, you plan at the end of the year whether you're going to Thailand, whatever per se. And if you think today the currency is favorable to you, I guess you are taking a view. But if you look at it differently, you're budgeting. You know how much you've spent, right?
Mm, mm.
So you know I'm buying for 2,000 ringgit worth. So it's 2,000 ringgit worth. And that's what you budget for the trip, and that's where it goes. Unlike a situation where you get the bill a bit later, right?
Yeah. Also, with a prepaid card like this, when you swipe at a merchant overseas, are there any fees connected to that? Or when you, say, pull cash from an ATM using your card overseas?
Right. So, basically, we leverage onto our partner Visa. So, it's no different than any Visa credit cards or debit cards that are currently out there.
Mm.
So similar charges apply. Now, in Malaysia, you can also take out money from the ATM, but that's 1 ringgit charges. But otherwise, it's very similar charges that applies to your normal cards, Visa cards that you currently have. Mm. So there's no additional charges to it.
All right. Let's talk about some challenges. And I can imagine with a company that has evolved like Merchant Trade Asia, there are bound to be some challenges that stick in your mind. Starting off in a brick and mortar role and then trying to move your customer base into a cashless state of mind, that must have been met with some roadblocks. Right? No?
Well,
yes?
Well, yes. Actually, the evolution is more driven by our customers' demand.
Mm.
It's rather than we are trying to educate the customer. The development of all our products that we've been talking about today, it's really come from constant feedback that we get from customers at our branches, the pain points they feel, whether they're waiting, whatever it may be. So these products that have come out, it's really from them. Now, the challenges, yes, for us, is it's still how we serve our customers. How do we evolve in terms of talent within the company? And that's always been something that the founder has been top of his mind. But I think what Merchant Trade has successfully shown over the years, it's managed to evolve and, you know, change its focus wherever is necessary. And it's grown. If you look at how we have been growing, the company started off with, I think, one person. Today we are 900 strong people.
Mm.
Expect to be hitting close to 1,000 people. From the branches side, we do have 84 branches plus 400 plus agent locations. So, you know, fairly large operations that is going on. So as the customers evolve, I think that's the big challenge. How do we evolve to keep our customers happy and with us?
So are you studying trends and then implementing solutions accordingly?
Absolutely.
And how are you doing that?
Absolutely. So one is, as I was mentioning earlier, on-the-ground experiences that we are hearing from our customers.
Feedback.
Feedback. Looking at what they, you know, how our competitors are also evolving in their space. So, which is why we are, you know, not cognizant of the fact that, you know, fintech is definitely coming, right? So which is what we are doing. Whereas different, I think that the biggest thing is really looking at market trends, right? What's happening globally and inevitably is coming to us, right? I think the advent of having your smartphones has completely changed how consumers behave. Malaysians, migrant workers, whatever it may be. The smartphone has definitely changed that.
Merchant Trade was the country's first MVNO in the year 2007. It's been more than a decade now. When, of course, it went into a partnership with Celcom to offer prepaid mobile IDD and data services. But this proved to be a drag on the group's overall earnings due to its highly competitive nature, like you explained earlier. What were some of the lessons that Merchant Trade learned here?
Right. Let me just clarify the point. It's not a drag to the business, but it's obviously our subscriber base has dropped from our peak.
Mm.
So what we have done with this business, it's now become more a complementary business to our
remittance
and actually the future of the prepaid card.
Right.
So remittance, yeah, I mean, yes, we have the eForex, but really the push is going to be when it's more around the app. So the thinking is, imagine somebody walking into our outlet. And to some extent, I must say, this is probably, if you look at the migrant worker space, right? It's almost a one-stop center. You get your SIM card, your debit card. You know, you can probably sort out your payroll services. You can do your remittance. If you've got an insurance product. So we are looking at that kind of an ecosystem for our customers, almost like a one-stop center.
Mm.
So that's how it's evolved. I mean, we do recognize the market has changed for the MVNO business. So, you know, we definitely do not see that as our core business anymore, but it is a business that we believe will remain complementary to the remaining of the rest of the businesses within the company.
You've also worked with MDEC on their GAIN program. How did Merchant Trade expand through its partnership with MDEC?
So it's been a great partnership with MDEC. I think one of the key things that we have gained from them is actually the visibility element. I would say we are still pushing this element. I mean, awareness of the Merchant Trade brand, for example, is probably still, as you've earlier mentioned, we are the largest in Malaysia. But really, how many Malaysians really know what we offer, what we do, is really what we are trying to do more, right? We are very strong in the migrant worker space. Of course, there's a whole different ecosystem, right? We are a trusted brand in that space. So we have worked with MDEC to really try and get us out there. But really, we are not. We never started off saying, yeah, that's the market segment only we want to serve. But it happened to be a segment that, you know, was underserved and we were there. We definitely want to serve the broader market space. And we believe, MDEC has given, for example, an opportunity to, you know, get onto interviews, press, in fact, even some of the, you know, regional trips and for exposure, definitely does help.
What other countries does Merchant Trade have a presence in at the moment?
Okay, so regionally, so we have a joint venture with M1 in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So where we are, it's called M1 Remit. Actually, it's a remittance product with M1, where we are 49%. We do have a marketing office based in Dubai. That's really to build our payout partners and also bring in what we call the IMTO partners. That means people that are using our networks to leverage onto our payout.
Mm-hmm.
We do have, I was earlier mentioning, we bought a tech company, which is Malaysian-based, but with a big presence in Nepal, really to leverage on the
localizing the services.
Well, I guess the skills that is out there in Nepal as well, right? So we have almost about, I think, 50 people in Nepal, you know, and another group out here. Because we have great aspirations to move into more app-based, and we believe that's the future in terms of the fintech space. Now, we also do back-end support to other money exchange players. So we do have something in Thailand that we support. Globally, we have payout partners and all. So that's not a direct, but obviously, we are present indirectly or have access globally.
All right. And just before we go, Piran, there was talk last year about listing the company. The initiative was deferred, apparently, from what I read in the papers, due to a weak market. And we've not heard of news since. Any status updates on a possible IPO?
Yeah, well, you know, we definitely are a growing company. There's always needs for funds. You know, I mean, we've had investors in over the years. We do have institutional investors like Sumitomo and Celcom who are shareholders and very supportive of our growth. I guess from a next phase perspective and also from visibility perspective, yes, IPO is something being considered. But at the moment, not something on the cards at the very moment.
Mm.
But never know. Something in the horizon.
And plans for future expansion. Where will we see Merchant Trade Asia? Possibly in different segments in the years to come?
Yes. So we still believe Malaysia has a lot to offer. We have a lot to offer to Malaysia. One, through our cards, as we're talking about, we also are moving into the payment gateway space, really to build that ecosystem for the B2B market, the SME markets. So we believe that's going to be one of the core growth areas over the next couple of years. Mm. For us, Malaysians are still fairly untapped for us, so we believe that's a growth area. Regionally, we'll be still be opportunistic, something like what we've done with M1, possibly. But I think the core focus is going to be Malaysia.
All right. Thank you so much, Paren, for taking the time to speak to us. I've been speaking with Paren Puvanesan. He's the Chief Strategy Officer at Merchant Trade Asia, Sundaran Berhad. If our listeners need more information on Merchant Trade, where can they go?
Our website, which is www.mtradeasia.com.
All right. And for more information on the MDEC GAIN program, head on over to their website, www.mdec.my/gain. Going Global is brought to you by the MDEC GAIN program, Building Global Tech Champions. This is Audrey Raj signing off for Going Global on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.